listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start on a Thursday here on Straight Outta Vegas with the Los Angeles Lakers, who have now cleared up a bunch of cap space, enough to sign a max player following Anthony Davis waiving his $4 million trade kicker. That also included the Lakers trading away Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones to Washington to clear up that amount of space. So, RJ, how does Vegas view all of a sudden all the cash the Lakers have at their hands?
Well, I got to be honest. I'm shocked, and a sarcasm alert, because somehow, some way, all of those Twitter guys that are so smart talking about how dumb Palenka, and listen, I don't know Palenka, but I'll tell you this. He's not working, you know, he's not stocking shelves. The guy was was Kobe's agent for a reason, right? Kobe didn't say, let's find a dumb guy, right? Now, we can say, oh, if someone's part of a crew, whatever, oh, the trust factor might sometimes trump their skill set, and maybe not, right? Is oftentimes there's very talented people that don't have the credentials necessarily, and if you know them, you trust them. Nothing wrong with that if you're making a smart decision as a player. Kobe plucked this guy out. He knows what he's talking about. Is he the best GM? No. But the Lakers had a plan all along. And I would say this, and I mean, I could just pass this by, but it would be doing a disservice to the audience. It's something where all last winter, Brett, I'll let you kind of paint the story. On one hand, there was the critics jabbering at the Lakers, and then maybe almost alone in the national media stratosphere was a friend of yours.
Yeah, Mr. RJ Bell was saying, hey,
continue.
Magic has a plan. As long as the Lakers get another max player, aka like an Anthony Davis, everything's
fine. First of all, this isn't another max player.
Yep.
This is potentially the best player in the NBA.
Yes.
Now, Fez, long awaited, the Fez 5 is going to be coming out later in the show. And listen, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but I got to ask Jonas. Now, so yesterday, Jonas, we had plans to do the Fez 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of good feedback. Fez was talking a lot. I mean, no big deal, but, and we didn't have a chance to do it. So we put it out on his Twitter and said, tomorrow it is. Did you notice what Colin had today? Colin had his top NBA player randomly today. Now, yeah. You know, could be a coincidence, right? And I know you follow things very closely,
right,
and
right.
You have a little grievance book. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Where does it make it?
Oh, I'm on page 14, but it's only a 16-page book. So, I mean,
I don't know if you saw or not, but they got lox over there at the TV studio for breakfast. You don't have that.
No,
right?
I don't.
No. Okay. Fez, Anthony Davis could be the best player in the NBA. We'll find out where he is on your list, but let's just say this. If someone had, let's say, a five-way tie for first, he'd have to be on the list, right?
Yep.
Okay. So to me, it wasn't just a max guy. It was a guy that, well, let's be honest. If we had to bet who would have a better season this upcoming season, LeBron or AD, and we just pick a really fair analytical model, let's say the PER.
Yep. Player efficiency rating.
Now, there's only three players in the history of the NBA with that player efficiency rating, PER, over a certain score. If you look at, maybe the way to say it is, the top three players ever, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Okay. So this is going back. I'm not sure how far that goes back because they got the stats. You would think it goes way back. This guy is in his prime. You know, he's kind of been resting for 2 years. It might be a little rough. I mean, I know he played, but you know what I'm saying. Not those playoff minutes. We got LeBron rested. So Lakers just didn't get a max guy. They got potentially the best player in the league.
And obviously that plays a part of Magic's plan that everything's going to be okay. Maybe we, you know, sell the short term for the long term plan. And the plan is to win a championship in LA. And right now, who's the favorite to win the title this next season? It's the Lakers.
I'm Magic Johnson. You know how many finals I've been in?
Now, people might say, well, Magic's not there right now. Oh, come on. If it wasn't for, think about the dominoes here. If it wasn't for LeBron being there, where would the Lakers be? They'd be where they were in the prior years, right? Which is nowhere. And now they're the favorites, and justifiably so. Here's the thing, though, guys. We talk about the bookies all the time in a negative way. I don't need their bologna sandwiches once a year at the convention or whatever. And you would think today's news, my phone was blown up from alerts. Oh, my gosh, Lakers, $4 million renouncement, and maybe Space Jam 2 is going to somehow augment it, which I wouldn't be surprised, right? Nike money. And you would think the Lakers' odds have improved drastically today. Fez, how much of an upgrade did the Lakers get today?
Lakers did not move at all, RJ. They are 4-1.
Wait, hold on a second. The Lakers did not move at all. Even though this is big news, it's blown up my phone with alerts. How could that be?
Because the dastardly bookie had already priced in the very possibility as a probability that the Lakers could pick up a third guy.
That's one of the things the bookies do. They pretty much assume each team's going to have the optimal offseason. Not crazy, like, oh, I never expect, but optimal for what's viable. And then if it happens, they don't get hurt. Oh, yeah, Lakers 4-1, no problem. And if it doesn't happen, oh, we'll move them to 8-1. Oh, you people bought those 4-1 tickets? Tough luck. All right. So big move today. I think the Lakers look good. The question is going to be, and I'll be honest with you, who are they going to get with this third guy? And also, how are they going to fill out the rest of the roster? And, you know, you might be an expert at the NBA salary cap, maybe an expert at the midseason exemptions and all the different things. We really aren't. And quite frankly, most people in media aren't. And it's something we're going to use the next year to try to understand better, because the model that these teams are moving towards, and Golden State's another example of that. You think of that first Golden State team that won the title, and then the team that won 73 games. They were about some good players at the top, a fit, svelte Draymond Green playing some tough defense, et cetera, right? And then they were deep. Oh, Iggy, all of a sudden a sixth man might win the MVP kind of talk, right? Okay. And what did they become? They became a big three with Draymond as a big four. And
260-pound four.
And then what? Well, let's see if we can sign Cousins because he's trying to get, you know, prove himself and get a big max somewhere else. Let's get this guy. Oh, G League Looney, you know, et cetera. So really, tell me the last team. And again, the Spurs being the exception, and it's been now, what, 6 years or 7 years, in which a team wasn't top heavy, that the NBA champion wasn't top heavy. So it's
Mavs, 2011. Dirk.
Yeah, we're going way back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different era in a way. That was the first year of the big three in Miami, right? Everyone's reacting. Right? They beat LeBron in Miami. So everyone's reacting to that at that point. Now everyone's got a chance to try to get their big three, Philadelphia, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have the big three, isn't it oftentimes how 4-8 do? But how do they get 4-8, right? Is oftentimes it's going to be older players that are willing to take less. It also could be some of this stuff that happens with the exemptions and renounced contracts. So it's going to be interesting to watch the Lakers. But I will say this unequivocally. The Lakers, I would make a major bet, are going to be better in March than they are in December. Meaning they are worried about winning the title. And if they feel good that the league's rules are going to allow them to add one or two players later in the year, you know, post the new year, 2020, I think they'll be fine not being as great early. So if you're looking to bet the Lakers early, one, we've always seen it takes integration. Even famously, that Miami team
started 9-8.
And straight up.
Yep.
And they obviously made the finals that year and then won it the 2 years after. Is that right? No, they won it one. How many did he win with?
Just two.
And then they lost the last year against the Spurs.
Lost the last year.
Okay, that's right. So they made the finals four straight times, lost the first and the last.
Yep.
Which is actually the way it happens, right? Right? That first year, you just aren't integrated yet. That last year, you got your foot out the door. You win in the middle. Now, the Lakers would take that now, right? So I think it's going to be an evolution. of this team, and it's going to be the Lakers are going to be better later.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
One of the big names in free agency is obviously Kawhi Leonard, reigning NBA Finals MVP, and reports say he will set up meetings with the Clippers and the Lakers in LA, and the Toronto Raptors are expected to get the final meeting with Kawhi Leonard as he decides where he goes in free agency.
Is it true, Jonas, when you have a few drinks, you have a Kawhi laugh imitation?
No, I do not.
Just a rumor.
No.
Now, we're going to talk about the key free agents, the guys that deserve, in our assessment, max contracts. But let's think about this in order as we do. Wow, how would they fit with the Lakers? Because that's the key question. If Kawhi made the Lakers or became the third guy on the Lakers, oofa. So let's just accept that would be a home run. What's the odds, Brad Powers?
Yeah, the odds right now, Raptors still the favorite, minus 225. Although
that's dropped off a little bit.
You're exactly right. Slightly down from yesterday, Raptors minus 225, followed by the Clippers plus 150. And if you do believe that Kawhi goes to Lakers, Lakers are 7-1.
That hasn't changed.
That hasn't.
Now, that's interesting because we didn't know he was going to take meetings. Now he's taking meetings, right? Yeah. And the teams are, were they specific with the teams, Jonas?
They said Lakers, Clippers for sure, and then Toronto gets the final meeting. There might be a couple others. I know his father had mentioned, or his uncle had mentioned the 76ers last week.
Hasn't his uncle done enough?
Yes. Yeah. He's done a lot.
You take a rest.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, but again, we actually looked at that earlier in some prior shows, is do we really blame Kawhi's group, or do we blame the Spurs? And, you know, we've discussed that. Check out the pod if you want to hear about that. Here's the thing. Fez, you got married how long ago? Broadly.
11 years ago.
Jeez, you can't not have a broad idea.
I can tell you.
I mean, he was counting on his hands, and then he ran out. He didn't know what, then he touched his nose.
An NFL score from 1992, no problem. When'd you get married?
Yeah, seriously. And the funny thing is he'll tell that old score in reverse order of who he bet. Like, yeah, I lost that one 3-13. It's like, what language is he talking? It's almost like he's old computer code with the punch cards or something. All right, that's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Now, when you were getting married, did you go on, because it would seem the night to have gone on a last date would have been the night before the wedding. Because let's be honest, right? The day, you know, if you met a girl that had every quality your wife had at the time, and again, understanding you're looking at it from that day's perspective, but also had $10 million in the bank or who knows what else, what would you have done? Right?
Well, what I did was play online poker.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, right? Is, to me, you don't go on a date the night before your wedding. Why in the heck, if Toronto's the answer, is he going on these dates? Woo me. This is like Ari Gold on Entourage, right? Is every time Vince wasn't real happy, it was like, okay, let's go around and get wooed by the other agents.
Wally Balls, it's my alias.
And to me, it's a situation where I think Jonas might have a decent bet. Now, remember, dedicated listeners, Jonas got de-pantsed. Is that a fair way to say it? Bet me even money that Kawhi was going to stay, or he thought Kawhi was leaving. And at the time, you could have got what, Brad?
Minus 250.
Well, minus 250 was on him, was my side, that I was getting it even money. He could have got plus 220 or whatever. So, listen, Jonas is living up to, you know, he's the voice of the fan. He's not a professional. I'm starting to like his side of it a little bit. I really believe that if you look at Kawhi, he might be a genius marketer slash PR guy, because what did he do? If he was going to, let's assume he was planning to leave all along. Do you disrupt the celebration? Do you make Toronto's victory and the afterglow? Do you make that a sour experience? No. You sit there, you do your laugh. Jonas could do it if he wanted to. And the fact of the matter is, you could see in the movie, the picture dissolve, commercial break, or I guess Netflix, there's no commercials, and you're back, and the next thing, it's Kawhi being walked into the Lakers office, shaking hands. And it's like, oh, this is the next chapter. He bookended this chapter in such a wonderful way if he is leaving. Because think about it, how have other people done it? They're like packing their locker.
Yeah.
You know, there's this sense of he is comfortable. It doesn't, at minimum, there's no animus between Kawhi and Toronto. It allowed him to create a situation, and let's agree, if he does leave Toronto, it won't be as negative a feeling for the Raptors fans as it would have been if he had done it another way. Does everyone see that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Unlike when LeBron left Cleveland that final game, he's not someone, all the rumors,
he's not shooting.
Yep.
And again, obviously that was a very specific situation. And in this case, Toronto won, but I've seen champions that were disgruntled for whatever reason, and they let you know it. I guess that's one of the advantages. You can't ever tell what Kawhi's thinking. I mean, who knows what he's thinking, right? And that's a wonderful quality in a poker player and whatever. I just feel like that because he played that role so well as a Toronto champion, we might have got lulled into thinking he was staying when what else has he really done to say or word or action that makes us think there's a better chance of him staying in Toronto than we thought a couple weeks ago? Except he's now taking meetings, in our analogy, going on dates with other girls.
And even when he won the championship, he let it slip a little bit with the pronouns. I'm glad you guys won a title in Toronto, not we won the title in
Toronto. Well, Fez, if we parsed every word from you, we wouldn't have anything else to do the next show. And then we'd be parsing your comments upon the parsing. It would get very meta.
Do you guys expect him to, or the odds to change on Kawhi Leonard before he actually makes an announcement? And when do you think that happens?
We've talked about this recently, so I'll say it succinctly. I think, and I heard someone on call and say the same thing, when it comes to, I think KD, he doesn't know where he's going. Meaning there's no way to know unless there's something to know. And I think early on, when it's months and months before the likely decision, the odds are driven by narratives in the media that may or may not have merit. All right, narratives that may or may not have merit. I think the time comes where the insiders know, meaning his internal, whoever we're talking about here, right? Let's keep it with Kawhi, though. His internal group, right? And I guess his uncle won't be calling me with any breaking news. And also then they each got their favorite insider that they do favors for. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, Woj is dropping a bomb. So to me, I think when you see the small moves, Jonas, minus 250 goes to minus 225, that's usually narrative. Oh, he's taking meetings. When you see the odds move drastically, it's usually based on information.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, one of the other free agents out there, guys, is Kyrie Irving. What does Vegas think of Kyrie's potential next destination?
All right, let's start with the odds.
Yep, Nets overwhelming favorite, minus 400 for the Nets. Got to bet $400 to win 100. Lakers 3-1, not too bad. Knicks 10-1.
Okay, real quick, because these guys are kind of tied. And let's tie it together. And when I say tied, I mean there's a correlation, at least people are speculating, with Kyrie and with Kevin Durant. What's Durant's odds?
Nets minus 150. Now, that's up a little bit from yesterday. That was kind of even money yesterday. Now it's Nets minus 150, Knicks plus 150.
All right, so just to be clear. So yesterday they were saying about 50-50 go to the Nets if you forget the VIG for a minute. And now it's even better than 50%. Yep. And again, one thing I've learned as a friend of Colin off air is he is told things, and he always talks about this. I can't tell you because when he says, you know, to the audience, I can't tell you because I committed not to blah, blah, blah. But you can hear, if you listen to him enough, you can hear him when he knows something. He's saying something a little more often. And I would say the times I've sensed, and again, I would never ask him off air, just put him in a bad spot. And again, Jonas, that's how you grow friends in this business.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, when you come in as a disruptor, I mean, you end up, you know, maybe all the china is broken, but now how are you going to eat? The
weekend overnights changes
people. No locks.
I'm telling you, weekend overnights.
So to me, I really trust these media guys that really know things, but don't always act like, aren't always sharing what they know. And obviously, when it comes to New York City, Stephen A. Smith knows his stuff. He said today, from what he heard, it's a done deal, Kevin Durant to the Nets and Kyrie. Now, who knows, right? And especially with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ebbs and flows. But I think it seems likely right now that if Durant and Kyrie, both favorites now, to go to the Brooklyn Nets, that's going to be interesting. You know, we looked at this. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So let's kind of recap on the Lakers, and then I want to talk about the Nets real quick. So if the Lakers got Kyrie, blackjack. If they got Kawhi, blackjack, yep. Right? Now, Kawhi's better than Kyrie, but still, if Kyrie's your third, that's doing really pretty good. Well. They won a title with Kyrie as the number two.
Yep.
And Kevin Love was not close to the number two that year.
Yep.
All right. Now, the next group, and I think we've kind of got Kevin Durant taken care of now, and he's not a Laker option. Even if he want, I'd be interested. If you wanted to come to the Lakers, would they take him? Wow. Because on one hand, you would say, yeah, because you get all those other years. On the other hand, they made this trade, the Lakers, for just 1 year of Anthony Davis, because the theory was he would sign with the Lakers after his contract was over anyway. And thus, all of that trade, all those players, all those draft choices was for 1 year. But people said, wait, hey, it's okay because LeBron's only got a couple prime years left. Yeah. Now, do you waste now they still could win it, but boy, if they had to use a max on Durant,
yeah,
that's fascinating. But I think it's not going to be an issue, right? So who else could the Lakers get that wouldn't be blackjack, as we like to say? Jimmy Butler doesn't seem possible, or it doesn't seem likely. What's the odds on Butler?
Yeah, believe it or not, the Rockets, even money. So basically 50% chance that Jimmy Butler goes to the Rockets, followed by the 76ers plus 150.
So you're saying right now, let's say it clearly, is Jimmy Butler, based on the betting odds, has a better chance to play for the Rockets next year than the 76ers?
Yep. That's kind of shocking. And then after the 76ers drop off, Nets 8-1. That would be some. Clippers 8-1 as well.
Okay. Now, Butler there? Butler improved his stock, I think, amongst the analytics guys against the discerning NBA fans in the playoffs this year. So he'd be a good number three.
Yep.
But not likely to the Lakers. Kemba Walker looks like Boston, right? Jonas's buddy Woj had a report on that. What's the odds?
Well, yesterday the Celtics were the favorite. They were plus 150. They took those odds down today after the announcement that Woj had. So the Celtics were already the favorite yesterday, and now they took the odds down. That says the Celtics very likely to get Kemba Walker.
Okay. So here's the thing. We've spent the first half of the show talking about the good position the Lakers are in. And I think it's correct. But if they don't get Kawhi or Kyrie, and it seems unlikely they would get Jimmy Butler or Kemba, now who's next? Who's last? Or who's at the bottom of the list? And you've got D'Angelo Russell. Well, that would be fun, right? Tobias Harris. Chris Middleton and Big Al. Big Al, as I call him. What's his last name, Brad?
Horford.
Oh, yeah. Big Al. It strikes me that if they don't get a blackjack, it's a disappointment. Is there a middle ground? Give me the guy, open question. Give me the guy if the Lakers got as their number three with this max money that you would say, okay, don't love it, don't hate it. Now, I get you might say Big Al, you can't hate him, but as you know, and the analytics guys love him, but it feels like a disappointment for a max.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.